Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm really happy today to have the opportunity to speak with Percy Schmeiser. Percy Schmeiser is from Canada, from Saskatchewan, and he has been a farmer for many years and was just sued by Monsanto, and it's a whole story, which I'm going to let you tell yourself, Percy.
Well, as was said, I'm a farmer from Western Canada, the province of Saskatchewan, and I grow primarily wheat and canola and some other crops. But the canola and wheat is my principal crops. And besides being a farmer, I was also known as a seed developer in canola and also a seed saver, which means that, like thousands of other farmers around the world, you save your seed from year to plant. And with canola, as a seed developer, we had developed a seed or a canola plant that was resistant to certain diseases and immune to certain insects and so on, and was adaptable to our climate and soil conditions. Now, Monsanto, in 1998, came without warning, and they launched a lawsuit against me and said that I had infringed on their patent. Now, Monsanto is the principal person that has, or company, that has genetic altered canola, GMO canola, genetic modified organisms. And they said I had illegally obtained a seed somehow, planted it, and therefore infringed on their patent by not buying a license from them and not buying the seed from them. So I was very concerned at that time because I realized immediately that probably some of my developed canola seed, a half a century of work since 1947, could be contaminated. So we stood up to Monsanto and said, look, if you people have any of your GMOs in my pure seed, then you are responsible, and there should be a liability issue here for destroying a half a century of development and work. So we then went to court, or pre-trial. It took 2 years to go to court, and it was before the Federal Court of Canada because patent laws come under federal jurisdiction, and it was a case of patent infringement, they said. But in the pretrial 2 years, they withdrew all allegations that I had ever obtained or seed illegally, and they even admitted it was a false allegation on their part, but they said it didn't matter the fact that there was some of their canola plants, some grown in the ditch, not even on my property, along the field of my field, I violated their patent.
And I just want to say, for those of you who don't realize that seeds can be patented, and I guess a lot of people are understanding this more and more, but not everybody, the very idea of patenting seeds and patenting genes is totally incredible. And then we're talking about genetically modified, so that in itself is a whole issue of what that does to our health. But we're going to be talking more about that. But I just, because you're kind of moving along quickly here, Percy Schmeiser, I wanted to be sure that people get the seriousness of what we're talking about here.
That's right, because in Canada, you cannot patent a seed or a plant, but you can patent a gene. So Monsanto is coming in through the back door, and they say that with the gene that they have a patent on, they put it into a seed with a biopiracy because they don't invent or develop a seed themselves. They put the gene in it and say they have invented that seed. Although it may have thousands of other genes in it, by putting one gene in, they claim total ownership, plus they've invented it. When the seed becomes a plant, the gene is transferred, And they say they have invented the plant, although, again, it may have thousands of other genes in it. They take total ownership and buyer piracy. So what the judge ruled then in my case after 2.5 weeks of trial, he said that it doesn't matter how Monsanto's genetic altered seeds, plants, or canola, soybeans or something, gets into my field. In my case, it was canola. And he even went so far as to specify, if it gets into a farmer's field by cross-pollination, direct seed movement by wind, especially birds, bees, animals, floods, he said it doesn't matter if it gets in your field, even destroying your crop becomes Monsanto's property, and you infringe on Monsanto's property. You infringe on Monsanto's patent. So that had a far and reaching implications.
Well, that's for sure. Again, I'm going to repeat it because I want people to really understand. As you're growing, you've developed these seeds that you're real pleased with, and seeds blow into your field, or who knows how they get there, not by your agency, not by your doing anything, and suddenly you don't own your own crops anymore. Monsanto owns them. That is really outrageous.
That is correct, because he also ruled that all my profit and all my seeds and plants that I had developed over 50 years goes to Monsanto, and that I was not allowed to use my seed again because it had contamination in, either in my soil, or in, seeds in my soil, or through cross-pollination in the seed itself. So it basically then took my rights away to use my own seed. And also he ruled that they could claim damages against me, like violating their technology charge and so on. So he also ruled that that even from fields I had tested with samples sent to the University of Manitoba with scientists to test, because I wanted to know as a pure seed developer how bad my fields were contaminated. And some of the fields had no contamination, and some had 1%, 2%, one had 8%, and where we first noticed it, in the ditch along the field of one, it had around 60% in that ditch on the edge of my field. And he ruled that even from the fields that had no contamination in, there was a probability there could be some of Monsanto's genes in it, in their seed. And even from those fields, seeds, plants, profit goes to Monsanto. So even you can get charged for a probability, it all becomes Monsanto's property and ownership. And if you grow it, if there's some contamination in it, you violate their patent.
So I imagine that puts you right out of business, you know. And I want to also stress that this could happen to anybody, because we're talking about seeds blowing around here. And how did they happen to find out about your particular field, Percy Schmeiser?
A number of ways. They advertise in their brochures that if you think your neighbor might be growing it, you should rat squeal on your neighbor. And if a neighbor does that, he gets a leather jacket from Monsanto, is what they tell me. So Monsanto, when they get this tip or rumor, they have a very large police force. Both in Canada, it's known as Robinson Investigation, and they hire former ex-Royal Canadian Mounted Police. In the United States, they have Pinkerton Investigation Services hired, the old Union Busters.
Corporate police.
That's right. So they'll send a couple, when they get this rumor, they'll send a couple of their police out, and they'll go to a farmer's home, they'll interrogate, harass, and charge farmers who have grown it without a license. And a farmer will say, no, we've never ever grown it, we've never bought your seed, and so on. And they'll say to a farmer, you're lying, we're going to get you, we'll drag you through the courts, and when we're through with you, you won't have a farm left. So that's some of the methods. But what the judge's ruling, when he said that even, in the court it came out that even if a farmer is not aware that he has any of Monsanto's genetic altered pollution in his field, he even violates the patent. And the rate of percentage of contamination doesn't matter. It could be 1% or even a probability you violate the patent. So what it means, total control of the seed supply by a multinational like Monsanto, and then again, total control of the chemical supply, because if you have to buy the seed from Monsanto, you must buy the chemical from Monsanto. You must pay Monsanto $15 an acre every year, a technology charge. And if you happen, as a farmer, have some violation. After you've signed that contract, Monsanto, you have to sign a non-disclosure statement or a gag order that they can say, fine you, destroy your crop, or do anything they want to you, and you can't say a word of what Monsanto did to you. But they can say anything about you. Then you must permit Monsanto's police to come on your land for 3 years afterwards, even though you grow it 1 year, and only sign a contract for 1 year, and they can go into your granaries, onto your land, without your permission, and check on you to see if you're committing some violation. So it's now a total new controlled police state that they have established, not by government, but by a multinational. And they don't only, when a farmer signs his contract, if he wants to grow it, these police or Monsanto's representatives don't stop. It doesn't matter to them if a farmer has a contract or not. They'll trespass, and they'll go into farmers' fields, and I'm not scared to say it. They'll go into a farmer's field, and they'll steal farmers' seeds. They'll steal farmers' plants to check on a farmer, and they'll trespass on land that farmer has seeded into canola crops and soybean crops, with or without a farmer's permission. So it's real trespassing and, in my opinion, stealing, because nobody is allowed to take the property of others. If a farmer happens to catch Monsanto's police or Monsanto's reps in his field and say, you're trespassing, get out, and they'll just laugh at a farmer, and they won't obey a farmer, and they'll say to a farmer, take us to court, and we'll drag you through the court system, and time we're through with you, you won't have a farm left. So what farmer can stand to pay $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 in court fees or lawyer fees to stand up to a multinational when they know Monsanto will use every legal maneuver in the book to delay it, to harass, intimidate, and break that farmer down, not only financially but mentally, because you're fighting a multi-billion dollar corporation. So there is no more justice for an average citizen if you have to stand up to a multinational.
Yeah, that's really intense. I mean, I've heard your story before, and somehow even hearing it again is like, wow. I mean, you really are, can feel totally powerless, that's for sure. And you, Percy Schmeiser, are really not going for that feeling, totally powerless. And one of the things you've been doing is traveling around the world, it seems, from what I've heard, talking about this. Bring us up to date on where the case is at right now. And it's really, it's interesting to hear that, or more than interesting, that Canada doesn't patent seeds and plants. Which is good, and yet this judge in Canada is ruling so much in favor of Monsanto, the corporation. So it's another sign, I guess, that corporations are definitely more powerful than national governments.
Very much so, because what the judge ruled, that patent law is over and above, or corporations' patent law is over and above all farmers' rights. Farmers do no longer have any farm rights under patent law, is what he ruled.
Is that the World Trade Organization?
I think that it can be enforceable, that patent law, throughout the world through the WTO. But even in Canada, we have a federal law which states a farmer always has the right to use his seed from year to year. The judge ruled that right is superseded by Monsanto's law, by Monsanto's patent law. So they have now more power than any government. And when they can take a farmer to court, or take a farmer, make him destroy his crop, fine him without having to even go to court. So now we have a new law and order, Monsanto's law and order, their God, their judge, and their jury, all in one. So basically, we've lost our freedom of speech through non-disclosure forms, our freedom of expression, and through the gag order. So it's a total control of the seed supply, and in many countries of the world, that means total control of the food supply.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about genetically engineered seeds and their benefits or their harmful effects on humans and other living things, and how that all works, because a lot of people don't know about that.
Well, first of all, they got permission by the government to introduce GMO canola and soybeans in 1996. And farmers were told several things by Monsanto. They said, first of all, it would be a bigger yielder, more nutritious, and also, but most of all, less chemicals. And farmers found out in two or three short years it was a poorer yielder. And in soybeans, canola, maybe up to 15%. The quality is way poorer. But most of all, now farmers are using more chemicals than ever, new and more powerful chemicals, because canola now has developed into a super weed, a weed we never ever had before on the prairies. And what is a super weed, briefly, is where the genes from two or three companies that sell GMO canola along with Monsanto through cross-pollination are now all in one plant, which takes a multitude of chemicals to kill it. So when Monsanto said less chemicals, in my opinion, they were just outright lying and deceiving farmers, because their whole purpose of introducing GMOs, the farmers have found now, is just to sell more chemicals. It's not a bigger yielder. It's not more nutritious. The quality is poor. So the only reason was to control a farmer's seed supply, that they have to buy the chemical from Monsanto. So that is what we have found out. Now, two real important things come from my case, and also with the introduction of GMOs, whether it's soybeans or canola or any other crop. Once you introduce, and we call GMOs a life-giving form, into the environment, there is no such thing as containment. You cannot contain a life-giving form like a gene or seed or a plant, because through cross-pollination and direct seed movement, you cannot contain it. You cannot contain the wind. You cannot contain a bee. You cannot contain the elements. So it will spread. So that leads us then to an important second issue. There is no such thing as coexistence. It will destroy the organic farmer, and it will destroy the conventional farmer like myself. You cannot coexist, because the GMO gene is the dominant gene and will take over not only the plant that it cross-pollinates or the direct seed, but it also will cross-pollinate into close cousins. Canola comes from the brassica family, which has very close relatives like radishes, turnips, and so on. So they are now also destroying organic crops in the market gardens, because through cross-pollination, the gene is moving into those crops. Monsanto then is claiming ownership that they have invented those crops. And if a farmer grows those crops, he has to go to Monsanto to buy the seed and pay a technology charge. So even those people will not be allowed to use their own seed.
And these seeds are these genetically modified seeds are spreading all over the world. I get, like you just said, they can't be contained. Mm-hmm. So I understand that they're in like the corn in southern Mexico, which is the oldest corn in the world, where corn came from. So it's changing the whole world. I mean, is it possible to reverse this at all?
On some crops, it would be very difficult, and that is the big fear of many, many countries of the world: the loss of biodiversity. And as a farmer for over half a century, to me, this is one of the biggest dangers, because if we get down to one or two varieties of any crop, seeds or plants, and you have a disease or blight, you got nothing to turn back to. And that is the big danger. Loss of biodiversity, the maize in Mexico. And even now, some seed dealers in North America have said, because the Mexican maize is contaminated, they should no longer be allowed now to use their own seed unless they pay Monsanto a license fee for every kernel that they use. So that is how the suppression and control is going.
And we know that those people are barely surviving as it is. Well, I mean, and the number of people who are barely surviving is really growing. So we're talking about people dying of starvation, basically. And Percy Schmeiser, what about the health effects of genetically modified food?
The health effects, I really don't like to get in too much into that, but I will touch briefly on it, that in Europe there's been a lot of studies done on the health effects with the introduction of GMO foods, plants and seeds. And they are now finding that definitely that the virus and bacteria from some of these foods are in the intestines of human beings and animals. Some of the scientists' claims are now, and very substantial documentation has been done, that it does increase the growth cells in the large intestines, which can be and will be very likely or are cancer-causing. So that's some of the effects. In the then the other issue is the environmental issue. What is it doing to our birds, our bees, our animals? We know itself now that even our honey seals have been all cut off to Europe because bees don't know which plant is GMO altered and which plant is not.
And so, Europe has said they won't accept genetically modified anything, any food made out of genetically modified crops, right?
That's right. And that's why all our sales of canola from Canada have been cut off to Europe, probably one-third of our sales. All the soybean sales from North America to Europe for human consumption has been cut off. So the economic impact, not only on organic farmers, but conventional farmers like myself, with loss of sales has been tremendous. And for what? We never asked for it. For GMOs, and it was just with the introduction of by these multinationals where they said increased yield will now always feed a hungry world and so on. They had no more intentions of feeding a hungry world. You know, what corporation is concerned about a hungry world? They're concerned about the profit, their bottom line. And when they said less chemicals, we should have known better. It meant more chemicals. So to feed a hungry world, it doesn't take Monsanto. To feed a hungry world, it takes politics, it takes economics, and it takes transportation. We have more than enough food now to feed the people of the world, only if it would be properly distributed. We don't need Monsanto, and it's a terrible situation when a corporation like Monsanto uses starving people to further the introduction and the further use and increased use of chemicals and using hungry people to do that.
It certainly is horrible. We just can't even say how horrible it is. I mean, I just was watching some pictures. We're doing this interview at the Bioneers Conference, actually, which happens once a year in Marin County. And so there's a lot of information, and I was just looking at pictures of starving people and hearing how much worse things are getting. And, I mean, you have to be totally blind not to notice that things are getting worse for everybody but the very rich. So, Percy Schmeiser, you have traveled many places in the last, since this case, and maybe before, but I just know that you've been going to a lot of different conferences, and I know that, I think, was it Zimbabwe that turned, and where you do have people who are starving, and they turn down genetically modified food for food aid. So some people are getting wise to it. But what are you experiencing in your travels? And we have about 5 minutes for you to share some of that.
Well, first of all, when I travel, especially whether it's farmers in India or Bangladesh or Africa, I always tell them never, ever sign a contract where they give their rights to use your own seed. Because if they do, they'll just become serfs of the land and they'll back to a feudal system. So they should never, first of all, give up that right. There's a very... In a lot of those countries, I have found that it's the women who are the keeper of the seeds. And they know from passing down from generation to generation what seeds are the best to use and which seeds to use, which plants to grow together. That is all being destroyed now with the introduction of GMOs or crops that they normally don't raise. And that's what is leading to our starvation. They're going away from planting their traditional crops because they have been told they're going to have increased yields with these new crops. And after a year or two, they have found that this is not true. And the other disturbing point is this, is that the head of the Biotech Commission in South Africa said that with the introduction of GMO maize, they will be able to contaminate the whole continent of Africa within 4 years. The whole direction now of the multinationals in the introduction of GMOs is to contaminate. And the head of the Canadian Seed Growers Association made a startling statement about 2 months ago, and he said, we have to take people's choice away. We cannot give people choice. We have to contaminate, then there is no choice. So that is the ruthlessness of these companies now. Don't give people a choice. I really feel sorry. I've spent a lot of time in Zimbabwe and Zambia and Mozambique where people are actually starving, and they refuse to eat GMO foods. And one of the, even though it comes as aid from the United States and Canada, and in one of the papers in Harare, the capital of Zimbabwe, it said, what is the difference if we starve to death, or if we die from starvation, or if we die from eating poisonous American food aid. So that was quite a statement, for these people to make, and they say, and then have our lands contaminated for all time.
Really, that definitely, I guess they're realizing how serious it is, but I would imagine a lot of people in the United States don't realize how serious it is. There's not much talk about this at all, and of course the media, as always, is so important in terms of educating or not educating people. Well, we just have a short time left, and I want to be sure to get your contact information, Percy Schmeiser, and also to hear an update about what's happening with your case, because we kind of got detracted from that.
People can get a lot of information from our website, which is www.percyschmeiser, and that's spelled PercyschMeiser.com, and there it'll show a lot of information, and also a trust fund that I have set up to help me finance my appeals. Now, where my case stands now, leave for appeal has been applied to the Supreme Court of Canada on the whole issue of liability, the introduction or patenting of life-giving forms, and when you cannot control a life-giving form and when you put it into the environment and the spread and causing the damage and destroying other people's crops, all those issues now have to be addressed by the federal government. I also have a counter lawsuit against Monsanto on the whole issue of patenting life-giving forms, the liability issue, which is a very big issue, because no one, no individual, no corporation should have the right to put something that is patentable into the environment that destroys the property of others, destroys our biodiversity, destroys our indigenous seeds and plants. And that is my counter lawsuit, which we hope to go ahead with if I can get enough financial help in January.
Mm-hmm. Great. Are you getting much publicity in Canada? Are people aware of this issue in Canada?
I'm getting a lot of publicity in Canada and throughout the world. And something else that I have found is not only is Monsanto trying to control the freedom of speech and expression of farmers, our scientists, our research people in our universities and research stations telling me that they're all gagged now because a lot of the research money comes from the multinationals. They're not allowed to say anything. So now we have the gagging of farmers, the gagging of our scientists. But worst of all, many reporters that I have talked to and press people in the United States say a lot of times they're not allowed to print it because the owners of the paper have pressure put on to them by the multinationals. And I did one in Missouri, and he was very outspoken. He said the pressure that is put on by Monsanto on the main daily papers, how can we get information out when in even the press now, the freedom of speech and expression is taken from away from there because they're scared of getting sued, large action lawsuits by these multinationals. It's a total suppression of farmers' rights, scientists, press people, and freedom of speech and freedom of expression, something that a government would never dare do, but multinationals are getting away with it.
Okay, well, our time is up. Percy Schmeiser, when you are hearing this is an independent production. We're not even, I'm not getting any money, I'll tell you that. Percy Schmeiser's webpage is www.percyschmeiser.com. percyschmeiser.com. And my name's Sue Supriano, and thank you very much, Percy Schmeiser.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Thanks for listening.